Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today as we visit with Max Linsky, the host of a new podcast. It's called 70 Over 70, and it's from Pineapple Street Studios. On his show, he talks with guests all over the age of 70 about how we make the most of the time we have left. And we want to hear from you, especially if you're over 70. How do you make the most of it? What makes you get out of bed every day? What's been your experience like growing older? Join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Max Linsky, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, Larry, thank you so much for having me. Very generous of you.
Well, I understand that the creation of this show, and by the way, I listened to the podcast with Norman Lear. It was great. But the creation of it had to do with your experiences with your own dad. Can you talk about why you wanted to make this podcast?
Well, the truth is I've wanted to make it for a long time. I've been thinking about it for years now. And it was really born out of, you know, I host another show or co-host another show called The Long Form Podcast, where we interview journalists. And I did a couple of interviews all in a row several years ago with journalists over the age of 70, and the interviews were really striking to me, mostly because I went into them, and I'm sort of embarrassed to admit it now, but I went into them thinking that we were going to go and like play the hits, you know, like go down their greatest hits and walk through that. And there was this energy that it was two women in particular, Renata Adler and Carol Loomis. Neither of them said this to me directly, but they sort of, the energy was, hey, I didn't come here to like write my obituary with you, you know, like I'm just as alive right now as I've always been. And it was, again, like I'm embarrassed to admit how surprising that was, but it was. And I just loved having those conversations. So I've been kicking around this idea for a long time. Like, could I do a show where I just get to have those all the time? And then, I had this very close relationship with my dad, have my whole life. He's a talker and I'm a talker, and I'm a talker because he's a talker, I think. and in the pandemic, I think he got depressed for the first time, you know. He's a super active person, incredible extrovert, and it just kind of broke him a little bit to be stuck at home. And I started to realize, like, man, I don't know how to talk to him about this, you know? And I don't think he quite knew how to talk about it himself. And so this idea that I've been kicking around for a long time suddenly became like, well, maybe there's actually a real reason to do it now. And then I started having these conversations with him with some microphones that kind of opened it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I want to give a little listen here to the show, the first show, you talking with your dad. And it was the prologue episode about his 80th birthday. So, Christina, have you got that? Let's listen.
How are you feeling about turning 80?
Well, it's pretty weird. I wanted to ask you what it feels like to watch your father get really old. How does it feel? I mean,
I'm not quite willing to accept the question's terms yet. You seem very convinced that you've gotten very old.
Yeah, I feel, I think a lot has to do with turning 80. I think a lot has to do with COVID. I think a lot has to do with, you know, feeling like I have more time in my hands, although I don't accomplish anything more.
Are you bored?
I don't feel bored, no.
You just feel bad.
I feel old. I mean, I feel the sense of constant physical challenge. I don't. It feels to me that the way I'm feeling now is part of the dying process.
Optimism is you believe it.
Oh, man. How was it? Was it tough for you to interview your dad in that way?
No. I mean, it was, again, we've been having this conversation my whole life, you know, not about this topic, but we've been talking about our stuff, specifically my stuff, my whole life. Like I have these memories of being really young and sitting around the dining room table or being on a drive or something. And, in part because of what he does professionally, but in part just because of how he's wired, like it just wasn't okay to let those kinds of feelings, like to let bad feelings metastasize. You know, his religion is you talk about it, you name it, and things are a lot less scary once you say them out loud. And so, no, it, you know, the foundation to have a hard conversation was there and really strong. The thing that felt different was it's almost always him doing that for me. And, and it felt really different to be trying and kind of flailing and, not doing nearly as elegant a job as he would do with him. And part of the sort of like reason that I think now is the time that I ended up doing the show was I don't think I understand very well what he's going through, you know? And I'm not totally sure that he understands it all that well, but I really don't. And so part of the reason that I want to talk to all these folks is to try and understand what this time in their life means to them, because I think it's an opportunity for me to pay him back a little bit, you know, like to be a decent kid to him, you know, over whatever these last chapter or chapters might be, you know?
Yeah. Well, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Now let's take a call. Cynthia in Menominee, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I just turned 70, and I had two wonderful surprise parties. But I told people I'm not getting old, although I feel like it sometimes. I am getting older. On my birthday, I was just one day older than 70 because I'd already gone through 70 the previous year. What is tough is having to slow down. My balance isn't as good, so I have to be careful when I'm riding horseback. I have to be careful when I'm working around the barn. And I'm losing classmates. That's the tough part, and just having to slow down. My husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and that it's been really hard for him. He's a runner. So it's just these physical changes.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I don't feel old. When I walk into an elementary classroom on my sub job, some of the kids look at me and go, "How old are you?" I have gray hair. Can't do anything about it. I'm not going to color it.
Cynthia, do you just say I'm a day older than I was yesterday?
I didn't sub that week, but I said my next birthday I'll be 70, and I'm a grandma. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the bonuses as we age, if we're lucky enough to have grandchildren. How old are you? Then they immediately compare my age to their grandma's age. Sometimes I have to remind them, no, that's your great grandmother.
Cynthia, that was a wonderful call. Is this the kind of, it's a wonderful response. I'm not getting old, I'm just getting older.
Yeah.
Max, is this similar to what you hear when you talk to people?
Yeah,
over seven.
I hear versions of that all the time. And Cynthia, I want to say both happy birthday and also if you're still riding horseback, I feel like you're doing great. but yeah, I think that's a thing that I've heard consistently. And you know, it sounds more surprising than it should. Again, it's like embarrassing to admit this out loud, but those early conversations, what was striking to me was, you know, you don't get less alive, you know, you're as alive as you have always been, and your life might feel different and your body might feel different, but you are yourself. And I do think that, particularly for younger people, that isn't always present, that idea, you know, that there is, I think when you are younger, you think that maybe there is like some diminishing, like the line on the aliveness graph goes down in some way, you know? and I just think that's a preposterous notion. And so, yeah, I've heard that sentiment from, I would say, almost everyone I've talked to.
Cynthia, thank you again. Let's take another call. Will in Eau Claire. Hi, thank you for calling. We lose Will?
Stuff is curbside, 1218 in Eau Claire, 54701.
Will, are you there? I don't know if he's here. He may not be hearing me.
Sounded like he was getting some delivery.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, maybe we can come back to him. How do you see what you're doing in asking these guests as different than maybe the normal things they would be asked in their daily lives?
Well, I think that's a little bit about like the you know, greatest hits album thing. So I think like, you know, I talked to Norman Lear recently, who, you know, is the famed TV producer, did All in the Family, the Jeffersons, all these incredible shows and movies. And, you know, he has this absolutely fascinating and almost like mythic body of work. And there's plenty to ask about that is fascinating, you know? And also, he has done literally thousands of interviews about that time in his life, you know, and about that work. And, you know, I'm sure that you feel this too, Larry, having done this for a while. Like, my only goal in these conversations is to get people thinking out loud, you know, like that's all I want. It's just to get people thinking out loud in any interview, whether it's for this show or other things I do. The way to do that, I think, is to ask questions about this moment in their lives. Because most people who call up Norman Lear say, you know, let's talk about Archie Bunker. And I think fewer people probably call him up and say, how'd you get out of bed this morning? You know?
Yeah.
And it helps, too, that's really what I'm interested in. You know, like, I am incredibly curious about both what Norman Lear's life is like right now and what he feels like he's learned, you know? I mean, that's the thing with the show that like,
he's 98, by the way,
98, 99 in July, still writing TV shows. He's been working throughout the pandemic. You know, and I mean, he was just an absolute pleasure to talk to, but like, I got to tell you, like I talked to him on a Tuesday afternoon. Like, I can't think of a better way to spend a Tuesday afternoon been talking with Norman Lear about what truths he has come to about what it means to live well, you know, like that's yeah. My best case scenario for a Tuesday afternoon, whether or not they're microphones. That to me is just like, that's an incredible time. And it almost feels like a scam a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, I can't believe the guy's willing to talk to me about this stuff, you know, and to do it so generously and so graciously, it's just remarkable. But I don't know that it's like I'm doing something really different here, and it's about how differently I'm doing it, and it's much more just like I don't know why everyone only asks Norman Lear about Archie Bunker, but the thing I actually want to know is what he's figured out.
Max Linsky, our guest today. He is the host of the podcast 70 Over 70 from Pineapple Street Studios. Larry Mueller here, Natalie Guyette, our producer, Christina Myshock, our engineer, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Max Linsky, host of the podcast 70 Over 70. Great to have him with us as we talk with him about his guests and about his podcast. I tell you what, I listened to the Norman Lear podcast, and it's really interesting and also highly produced and very enjoyable listening, and I hope you have a chance to get to it and listen to maybe that one or some of the other podcasts that he has. In the meantime, I want you to join in right now. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or if you'd like, you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. If you're over 70, what do you do to make the most of your life right now? Or what'd you do this morning when you got up? Yeah. Max might want to know that. Again, it's 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. Connie and Portage, we'll go to you. Connie, hi.
Hi. Well, I was listening a little bit there and thinking about his father being depressed once in a while. And I am a very positive thinker, always have been, and I'm very active. But when you get this age and your body starts falling apart, then you can't do the things you used to do. And sometimes that can make you depressed. But I pull myself out of it. I'm very active. I play cards, play euchre all the time, go to Sunday school. And yesterday we went and bought an English bulldog baby puppy. So my husband and I are very happy about that.
Sounds like you got a positive life going there.
Yeah. What'd you name the puppy?
Well, we haven't decided. It's a little girl, and my husband liked Tulip, but I sort of like Precious. So I'm not sure what we're going to name her, but we're picking her up Friday. We went to see her in Richland Center yesterday, and she is just beautiful. But if your health is good, that's what I think makes the difference. I have a neighbor that she's never had arthritis or anything, and she's so active and positive, and I think that makes a big difference.
Yeah, and Connie, you are, if you don't mind my asking, how old are you?
82.
Wow. Thank you for calling. Any comment, Max?
Well, I'm jealous of the puppy. I think Precious Tulip is actually like works as a puppy name. I think you just combine the two. I think that's true. I mean, I my father was dealing with some health stuff during the pandemic, and I do think like your body not being able to do what it once did and what once took for granted. I mean, that is certainly a thing that has come up again and again. Although I think there's a moment where you can get past it too. Like, I think there's some level of acceptance where you realize, okay, well, I can't run every day anymore, but what's the next thing I can do? You know, I can start trying to take 20,000 steps a day. That's my father's goal, which is absurd. And you know, so I think there's some adaptability there.
Connie, thanks again. Let's go to Pam in De Pere. Hi, Pam.
Hi, I'm in Superior, actually, but my dad lives in northern Illinois, and in the house he's lived in since he was 18, and he rehabbed it into a bigger house. And anyway, he's going to be 95 in July, and he just contracted somebody to side his house at a price of, like, I think it's $29,000. Anyway, it's like he really doesn't think. He thinks he's going to live to be over 100, and he may well, because some of his relatives have. He's a little Italian guy. And my grandmother used to always say she felt like a little old lady a little girl in a little old lady's body, and I turned 70, and that's how I feel. I don't feel any different. It's, you know, physically, yeah, but I'm still me. And he's just so optimistic. He just, you know, he's going to be 95, and he's very healthy. He lives by himself. He does everything he wants to do. It's really nice.
Do you feel as optimistic as he does? Like, do you think of yourself as the same kind of person?
Yes. Yes. I feel like a little girl in an old lady's body, but it's not that old yet.
So. Right. Well, I think that's part of it too. I mean, you know, he's modeling a way to be in the world that you can draft off of, you know? And I think there are plenty of totally healthy 95-year-old people out there who aren't necessarily, you know, undertaking big projects on their house right now. You know, that sounds like a special person to me.
Yeah.
Pam, thank you very much for calling. Well, Lynn in Spring Green, we have to give you a chance too. Hi, Lynn.
Hello.
So, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm 71, and I live in a little cabin out in the woods. And the things that keep my life precious really are reading or learning something new in general. But if there are health problems, reading will keep me learning something new. And writing, I'm a writer. And grandmothering, gardening, and gratitude. And honestly, if nothing else is working, gratitude.
Lynn, thanks for calling. Gratitude. What do you think, Max? Is it gratitude?
I think gratitude is really connected to another thing that keeps coming up in these conversations, which is being present and how to find a way to be present. And I think those things are intimately connected. I think it is tough to feel gratitude for the things in your life if you cannot appreciate them in the moment. And, you know, one of the real like joys of the show is a lot of the people I've talked to have spent a lot of the time in the conversations focusing on being present and when they were able to do that in their lives and how, but also just have these wonderful metaphors for it, you know? So like, the first episode I did was with Sister Helen Prejean, who has dedicated her life to ending the death penalty in America. And she just talked about it as being in the flow of a river. And you can either be sitting on the bank of the river and watching it go by, or you can be in the river, you know? And then Norman Lear had this wonderful line about like, between the word over and next is a hammock. Yeah. And all I want to be doing is lying in that hammock, you know? And what that says to me is that people have done work to figure out how to do that in their lives, you know, and yeah. I find that personally just incredibly appealing. You know, it's a thing I'd like to figure out for myself. I don't have my own metaphor yet, Larry.
Well, we do have a clip from that episode with Helen, Sister Helen, and. I think you were talking about the idea of hope and what makes it different from optimism. Christina, let's listen to that.
Optimism is you believe that no matter what's going on, everything's going to be better. And hope is a active verb of engagement. Because you believe in the deep down goodness of people, you believe that you can set up really bad systems so 40 million people are still living in poverty, and people do not have health care in this country, and there is not affordable housing. All these things are things that we can change.
So hope is a byproduct of work.
Well, when you are hopeful, you are engaged.
Right, of engagement.
Hope, yeah, of engagement. You put your hand on a rope and you start pulling your little part.
You can't find it if you're just sitting on the bank of the river.
Right. You know what my image of it is? It's kind of like we all have this fire banked in us. But when we gather with people, and I got to just tell you, this conversation is very life-giving that you and I are having.
I feel the same.
And it's like you're blowing the coals. You blow on the coals. And then what looked like was kind of a little dead coal, then you just see that fire flicker. Mm. And St. Paul used that as an image. Stir into flame the gift of God that's been given to you. We stir each other into flame. And that's been the gift of belonging to the sisterhood, the Sisters of St. Joseph. They help grow me up. My motto in the community, because I had all these half-baked ideas like you would not believe. And the little saying about me was, there goes Helen again with one of her harebrained schemes, her feet firmly planted in midair.
Oh, man. Listening to that, you just want to listen to the whole thing, Max.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly I recommend that people do, but there's Sister Helen is she's a one of one. There is no one like her, and that was such a meaningful conversation for me. I mean, it really really flipped my thinking on some stuff.
I want to ask you how did how's your audience? How was it built? What was the experience like getting this started? And how do you pick your guests? But I mean, sort of that early history of how things got going and how is it going?
We just started it, so we launched it in May, late May, and so it's only a couple of weeks old. We're putting up episode 4 tomorrow, I think. So it's early, it's early, and. But at the same time, it's this idea that I've been thinking about for a long time. And so it feels like it's been with me for a long time, but it's only been out in the world for a little while. You, Larry, seem like a very confident person, comfortable in your own skin. I am on the other end of the spectrum, very, very anxious person. I was pretty torqued before the show came out, mostly because I didn't know if anyone was going to listen. And I got this whole thing with my dad where I'm asking him about, the meaning of life. And I definitely had some concerns that people were going to listen to it and basically be like, this guy's got some stuff to figure out. Like, I don't know. I think he should have been in therapy, not hosting a podcast. But it's found an audience. It seems to be connecting with people a little bit. We're hearing from lots and lots of people every day, and I think that's a little bit about the show. But I think it's more about this moment that we're in, and I am asking some big questions on the show, and I'm interested in the big stuff. And I don't know that everyone is always very open for that conversation. But coming out of this year that we all just had, particularly when things that we took for granted, I mean, getting back to gratitude, things that we took for granted were taken away, people we took for granted were taken away. I think that a lot of us are recalibrating right now and rethinking what is important to us right now. And so, in a way that I think actually doesn't have much to do with the show at all, I just think it's a moment in where people are open to the big stuff in a way that we're normally not. And so maybe it's like catching a little bit of that energy.
I'm going to ask you this at the end too, but people I know, listeners are saying, oh, I wonder, how do I find this podcast? So tell us that.
The easiest way to do it, if you have if you want to listen on Apple, it's just go to the Apple Podcast app, search for 70 over 70. You can just Google 70 over 70 and you'll see links for it to Apple and Spotify. You can find it on our website, pineapple.fm/70over70. But wherever you listen to podcasts, you can listen to it. And probably the easiest way is just to Google it, though. 70 over 70 podcast.
Virginia in New London, let's go to you. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, you guys. I love your show. I just want to let you know that. I listen to it as much as I possibly can.
Thank you.
I heard you guys talking about gratitude. I'm grateful for so many things in my life. I'm 72. I have no intention of cashing in for at least 30 years. I've been driving my motorcycle since 1975, taking many trips on it. I'm leaving tomorrow for another big, long, you know, trip. And it's going to be awesome. And the thing is, if I look at the bright side of pretty much everything, if at all possible, because my thinking is if you do that, living in the moment, as you guys were talking about, living in the present, that's what you have to do in order to be able to, number one, stay sane, and number two is to, you know, being able to take care of yourself, and three, enjoy life, because I'm still here. I'm looking at sunrise every morning. A lot of my friends and a lot of my family can't do that. So it's like I have to look at it in the bright way. Future coming up. So I just wanted to tell you that and call in and say, keep it up. I love.
Where are you headed, Virginia?
South Carolina.
So you're jumping on your motorcycle and you're headed to South Carolina.
Correct. Yes.
Max, you got anything to say to Virginia?
Virginia, I'm jealous. I wish I could go to South Carolina on a motorcycle. That sounds amazing.
Oh, it is. I shouldn't say it is. I've never been there. But I've taken I've been to New York, Colorado, the Dakotas, Canada, all on a motorcycle, and nothing like it. Nothing like it.
I don't know that you need to hear me say this, but keep it up.
Yeah, that's for sure. Thank you, Virginia. Oh my goodness. Oh, Nancy in Grafton. We'll go to you. Hi, Nancy.
Well, good morning. Well, you know what? Today is my 86th birthday, and my husband and I, we had 14 kids, and well, they gave a great big party for me on Saturday. A lot of people here, a heck of a lot of food, and oh, my gosh. And so it was a good time. And, you know, here I am sitting in my backyard looking at my clotheslines, and I got some clothes I want to hang out there. And son of a gun, from the just east of my house here, a block away, somebody's burning smoke, and it's coming over to my clothes. I'm not going to be able to hang those doggone clothes out there. I don't want them to smell like smoke. Well, I'm just a little disappointed, and I was at Mass this morning too, you know, and I see a lot of friends. Oh man, the family got bigger and bigger and bigger because I care about people. I really do, and people are nice to me, and I've got wonderful neighbors, and except that guy that's out there burning that gosh darn.
Right. I was going to say, there's one, you know, exception out there, right?
My sister Karen called me from Marshfield just a while ago when your program started, and my daughter and son-in-law and granddaughters are here from Alaska. So I tell you, it's a busy time, but it's one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's what I say.
So, Nancy, thank you. 86. And here's the darn neighbor's got a fire 14. Going.
I mean, it feels to me like if you've got 14 kids, one of them should be willing to go over to that neighbor's house and tell them to quit it with the smoke.
And probably if there's 14 of them, there's plenty of them that are under 60 yet that maybe could could do that. Oh, Nancy, thank you. Oh. Tom in Oshkosh has something. Tom, go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to ask, based on what you initially said and shared with your father's interview and then the one with the sister, how much can you get into the exploration of the process of detaching from the things of this life and deeply connecting with the love and friendship of people as people as we do approach passing into the other world.
I don't know that there is a limit on that beyond my own capacity to stay present in that conversation. You know, I mean, I think Larry was asking me earlier, like how we pick guests for the show. And one of the things that we're looking for is people who are as open to that conversation as possible. And so, you know, if we get that part right, then really the only limitation is my own capacity for it. And, which I think is has some limitations, you know. There are real things that I haven't quite figured out that I think probably hold us back a little bit. But in general, that the thing that you're talking about is the thing that I'm interested in talking about too.
I'm wondering what your thoughts are about maybe not doing the radio or the podcast itself, but do you think people could benefit from having these kinds of conversations with older people in their lives?
Yeah. I mean, my big sappy goal for the project is that it will encourage people to have conversations that they might not have had otherwise. And, you know, I know that in my own life, there are people who have died, who I had things that I wanted to say and I didn't get to say them. I was too scared to say them. Or I had questions that I was too scared to ask, you know? And, you know, it comes back to my dad in this way that I was raised, which was, you know, on the other side of discomfort is where things get really interesting. And yeah, if you can get through that first little piece of discomfort, there's a whole world waiting for you on the other side. And so my hope is, and again, I'm aware that this is sort of grandiose and sappy, but my hope is that people will listen to the show and be sort of inspired to go have a conversation that they wouldn't have had otherwise. And that could be with older people in their lives, but I don't think it needs to be. I mean, I think like,
no,
it's more like, you know, I'm a fan of engaging with the big stuff. And, if it gets some other people to do that, that seems great to me. That's fantastic.
Max, it's been a real pleasure talking with you today. I want to thank you so much. I got a wonderful podcast there. I hope you get millions of people listening to it.
Well, it's really, really generous of you to have me on and such a pleasure to talk with your listeners.
Oh, thank you so much. And again, to find it?
Easiest way is to Google 70 over 70 podcast. You can listen to it on Apple, Spotify, or you can listen to it on the Pineapple Street Studios website. It's pineapple.fm/70over70.
I hope we have a chance to talk again. Thank you, Max. Appreciate
it, Larry. Thank you.
Max Linsky, the host of the podcast 70 over 70. He's a great guy, very introspective, and it was fun talking with him. And I know it's going to be fun talking with our next guest as well. We've got a Mondays with Mike Crane joining us next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mealer.